Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Go to the book of Romans chapter 8. If you're new with us, our pastor, Pastor Dan, has been leading us through the book of Romans. Well, I can't see the letters, so I'm putting my glasses on. So we'll go through the book of Romans, and right now we're in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and so today we're going to look at verse 15 through 17, and we're just going to be studying there of what the Lord showed us. And we're going to talk about where's the proof? Where's the proof? That's what we're going to try to understand today. Where is the proof? And the reason why we say it this way is because God, through the Apostle Paul, starts talking about the spiritual process of adoption. The spiritual process of adoption. Spiritual adoption is a very, I wouldn't say elusive, but it talks about very clearly in the New Testament how we're connected to a new family. The issue is that fatherlessness in the earthly realm has produced also fatherlessness in the spiritual realm. I'll repeat that. Fatherlessness in the physical world has also produced a lot of fatherlessness and condition in the spiritual world. A lot of people behave spiritually as if they have no father. And it is a big deal. The importance of the father is crucial. We've all seen it in our society. We see a pushback going the other direction. We became very anti-father in the home over our social programs and everything we do. And this is not a political message at all, but it is an understanding that affects us spiritually. And it is so crucial for us to say, because just naturally, the presence of a good father in the home helps boys regulate their emotion. They know how far they can go when there's a strong dad in the family. Not an abusive dad. I made a correction. A strong dad in the family. Girls understand. They feel more secure. They don't go out in adventures in any way because they feel secure in their love of their father, and so they're not seeking it out elsewhere. Fathers provide security and understanding within the families, and so those things are so crucial when there's a strong father in the family. Now, you may say, Pastor, but I am a single mom. Guess what? I was raised by a single mother also. And this is why this message is so crucial for me. Let me give you a little of the backstory, how I landed on this. Now, the verses that continue on talk about suffering. And so I had prepared this amazing message. I have notes. I had, you know, the message wasn't completely, but I knew a direction I was going. And every preacher knows when your notes are singing to you, and you're like, man, I am dialed in. This is going to be fire. And so, you know, I'm writing out, and then Wednesday happens. Now, if you were here Wednesday, and if you haven't seen the message our pastors preached on Wednesday on the prayer of Jabez, it's a very important message. And a lot of times as preachers, because we hear so much of the word and we study, it's not that we're prideful. It's not that we're like, oh, I'm better. I don't need to listen to that. We always have a heart open to listen to any message. But on Wednesday, I thought, it's a good message. Pastor Jessica's fine. Oh, man, that's going to bless. Have you ever said this? Because I know you're probably saying it today. That's going to bless someone else. Now, that message is for someone else. Well, as she's concluding the message, she starts to do a prayer of deliverance, and I kid you not, I was sitting right there, and like a movie played in my head. And this movie were situations of my life where my fatherlessness had become an issue. And I was just like, whoa, that wasn't supposed to happen. I already know the word. Heck, I'm a pastor. But you never stop growing spiritually unless you want to stop growing spiritually. It is your decision. And it was so crucial to understand this, because today I'm going to bring you an understanding of the Word of God that's going to help us in this journey that the Apostle Paul is leading us through. Because the orphan spirit or the orphan behavior is the cause of many problems in society and even for our own lives. And the Apostle Paul is writing to Gentiles under Roman law. And what does that mean? It means that for the Jewish person to understand that God was their father, that wasn't rare. Abraham was the father of the nation, the father of the faith. Moses was their liberator. They understood Jehovah. They understood the structure. Gentiles are coming into this new to them, new religion that's being kind of put out there. And so Paul has to write to them and says, I want you to know that you're brought in by a spiritual father. But to them, Roman law was different. When you were adopted in Roman law, you had all the same benefits as natural born children in the family. All the same benefits. So Paul's writing, you're coming to a new God with a new older brother, sort of co-heir, and this father's giving you everything he's given to the son already. That was crazy understanding. Let's read it together. Romans 8. 15, through 17. For you did not receive, says Paul, the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. Paul says, you are not meant to be under fear and in bondage. And that word bondage means slavery. And so in the language of the New Testament, this is very understandable. He's saying, you're not supposed to be fearful in this manner. You're not supposed to be bound in this way. He continues on. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I want you to, if you have a physical Bible, I want you to highlight that expression. And a lot of people say, man, daddy, man, that softy dependency on the Father where you're like, oh, dad, daddy. And he's saying there's a spirit in us. The spirit in us is crying out to the Father. Let me tell you something. For many years in my life, I could not relate to that verse. I simply couldn't because it made no sense to me because I never did that. Physically, I never did that. And so when you come spiritual and you're telling me I have a father, I'm like, great, God is my father. That's awesome. I don't know what that means. And this is why getting this understanding into your spirit is going to break your life and lead you in an amazing spiritual walk and journey. You have to get this. You have to get this. It's so important. And so he continues on and says, it's crying out from inside of you. Verse 16, the spirit himself bear witness with our spirit. Oh, wait. So the Holy Spirit in you is saying, I'm going to confirm that something's happening in you. I love that. And we'll break it down little by little in a minute here. The spirit within you that we are children of God. Where's the proof? Paul says, there's proof. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ. Are you kidding me? He's writing, he said, if we are children of God, then Christ being the Son of God, we get all the rights of the Son of God also. All the rights. Join heirs. And if indeed, the biggest word, the biggest little word in the Bible, biggest little word, the pastor used to say that all the time. If. What happens? If indeed we suffer. I knew there was a catch, Pastor. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God is so good. I came across a story, somebody you know and you're very familiar with. His name is Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, and I didn't know his story. I've seen this show here and there. I didn't necessarily follow him, but I would, log in or whatever when it was on TV. I would watch it because it was such a fun family and very interesting family. But Phil's story is an amazing story. Phil is a man who had a terrible childhood in many ways, walked away from the Lord, became a terrible father and a husband. Eventually, his wife couldn't take him anymore because he became a drunk and kicked him out of the house. So he abandons his wife, and I believe at the time they either had two or three of the boys with them out of the four boys they have. And so they kind of kicked him out. And so he went to the neighboring town, and he was known in the neighboring town because he was always drunk and in a bar and just a terrible life. And so I believe Miss Kay's sister was going to a church at the time and started going with her, and they told the pastor, hey, pastor, would you go preach to my father, to my brother-in-law? He's lost. My sister's alone, with the kids. And so the preacher kind of knew the reputation of Phil Robertson, so he didn't want to, he would fight you for anything. And if you've seen the show, he is a feisty, feisty old man, and he's already with the Lord now, but he was complicated. So the preacher finally gets the kind of gumption to go, okay, I'm going to go. So he travels to the near town, I don't know how many miles away, finds Phil at the bar, and decides to preach to him at the bar. And if I understood the testimony correctly, Phil was like, this guy's crazy. I'm going to punch him. This is my time here. I'm getting drunk, and I'm doing my thing, and you come preach to me. But Phil says something in him just kind of captured. And here's what captured. He says, I was shocked that this guy was so brave to come into my bar and preach to me. He said just the fact that he did that was like, okay, I'm going to give him a time and listen to him. And he changed. He absolutely gave his heart to the Lord. He was transformed. A few months later, he gets baptized. He gets together with his family, and we all know the journey. God led him through a journey, gave him an amazing business. They became gazillionaires, selling duck calls and all kinds of stuff, right? And so it is an interesting story because God brings people into his kingdom when he makes them his kids and give them all the benefits. Look what God did with them. I mean, he could do it with you and me. Are you with me today? He brings us in. He cleans us. He restores us. Amen. Give God a praise for that. And it's so crucial for us. And that story is beautiful because it does reflect what we as children ought to know in our lives. That when we brought it into the family of God, here's what we ought to know. The children of God ought to know three things that I want to give you today that are in my heart that God gave me for you. Here's number one, is that the promises of God are for you. The promises of God are for you. It sounds so logical, especially if you've been in the gospel a long time. Pastor, I know that. But you know what? A lot of people do not believe this. They do not believe because, just like I said in our prayer earlier, we judge God by the condition we're in. So how can the promise of God be that way? And this is why, practically, you and I, we have to declare these promises to ourselves every day. Otherwise, the enemy brings us and makes us insecure. And this is where the fear of bondage comes in. I was watching the testimony of a missionary in Africa, and she was sharing how her kids, she has a big orphanage and works with a lot of village kids, and then she adopted some of the kids, too, into her own family. And she was sharing that her adopted children behave in a different manner than her natural born children does. And not because she wants them to. It is just a natural behavior. She says, my natural born children, they go in, they open the fridge, they feel comfortable. My adopted children always have a hard time. They always ask, can I get this? Can I grab that? And she's like, yeah, you're in the family. You get it. And so it is that behavior. I think a lot of Christians do that. They're like, well, I can see how God can bless the pastor, but why would he bless me? Why would he bless me? Because you're a child of God. That's why he's going to bless you. That's why he's going to make his promises be fulfilled in your life. He's not separating us. He's not filtering us in any way. And this is why it's crucial for us to bring that into our lives, that we don't behave in fear in any way. As a matter of fact, Romans says it this way, 8:15, if I'm not mistaken, says this. If I could get it on the screen, that would be great. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Paul says, before you were a Christian, you were behaving in fear. There was a manner in you, but I want you to know that when you came to God, you did not receive that spirit again. There's a different spirit in you. And it's so crucial for us to know that because otherwise our behavior gets modified by the spirit that's operating in our lives. And then he says, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. These promises are so crucial and important for us because otherwise we kind of crawl out of this thing. Let me just say it this way. When you are loved and you're secure in love, you run to your Father. I'll say it in a different manner. If you were loved, you say, oh man, I messed up. Let me call my dad. But instead, we've been taught, man, I messed up. Let me hide from him. Let me hide from him. And the psalmist says, where am I going to go? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, you're there. No matter where I go, there you are. We hide because there's a behavioral pattern in our system already. And God says, I've given you a new spirit. Here's how John says this. 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love. What a declaration. What a powerful declaration. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. And we've all been there. We've all been tormented by one fear of another in our lives. Whether it was a diagnosis in your life that kept you up, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's an emotional situation, whatever it may be, you know what torment feels like. But if you have never felt love, then God wants to let you know that he loves you and he wants you to feel that freedom that is found in love. Freedom that is found in that security. The freedom that is found in the fact that he's going to walk you through. And our children know that because most of us, all of us, as good parents know that the love for our children is unconditional. Now, we correct behavior. That's not unloving. Maybe in California, they don't want you to correct anybody, but nor here nor there. But it is important for us to know that when we love, we set certain boundaries and directions. But love is unconditional, and it's beautiful because we bring it. We give all the rights. And as a matter of fact, it's not in my notes, but you know, when we remove this fear, but my best friend, Pastor Joel, and his wife, they have 3 adopted children and 2 natural born children. And ever since I've met them, I couldn't tell the difference unless they told me they were. And it's because they've given every right in their family to all the 5 kids. And that's a lot of kids, dude, but that's okay. They're given all the rights to all the kids, adopted and born. I mean, I've seen Pastor Jenna pray for all her kids and Pastor Joel, no matter who, the adopted ones and the born ones, as if all of them are theirs. Because perfect love casts out all fears. They all belong to you. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, I have my son, my only son that I gave for you. And when you accept the sacrifice, then you're going to get all of this. There's no fear in love. I love him. He is absolutely great. He obeyed. He fulfilled the call. I want the same thing for you. I want the same thing for you. And here's what it says. He says this, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I know that feeling. I know that feeling because for many years, I was in performative Christianity. I'll repeat it. For many years, I was in performative Christianity. If I behave well, then I know God is going to hear my prayers. If I behave well, then I know God's going to love me. And he says, you know what, son? My mercies are new every morning, whether you behave well or not. My love is constant, whether you behave well or not. And that is the security of having a true father in the home and having a true father in the house of God, which is God our Father. Are you with me this morning? Here's number 2. The children of God ought to know this. They ought to know that the Spirit of God is in you. They ought to know that the Spirit of God is in you. And again, they're so simple, they're so straightforward, but I don't think a lot of people understand the importance of understanding that and knowing that in your heart. One of the greatest discovery, and obviously it didn't happen in one moment, it's been happening over, you know, a decade, couple decades, and a few years, every time it became more incredible. One of the pictures that you would see on the screen is a very famous picture called the double helix. And the double helix, it was when they started drafting the idea of the genome, the human genome, and the DNA sequencing. So it is a famous picture. You see it everywhere regarding DNA. And Rosalind Franklin, it was a scientist, and then together with another French scientist, that they first took the first picture, radiograph, of DNA, a cell. And so they saw the broken, then another group of people developed it. And so we came, you know, late 50s, 60s, the DNA discovery became into play and changed everything. DNA sequencing and DNA discovery changed everything because all of a sudden, people found connections that they had no clue that were with each other. And DNA made people feel more closeness, and we've all seen it nowadays. You can buy a DNA kit, get your DNA checked, and see where you're from and your roots. And so I decided to do that. In 2020, 2021, I did that. But in 2019, I went to a country in Africa called Equatorial Guinea. And Equatorial Guinea is one of the few Spanish-speaking countries, if not the only one, maybe 2 out of the entire continent of Africa that speak Spanish. And so I visited them, and they look like me, I look like them, but you know what? I assume, hey, it's just part of, you know, the inheritance. I'm from the Caribbean, so yeah, there was African slave brought into the Caribbean also, so we're, you know, all mixed, a big bunch. And so I decided to do this, and I get the test back, and so I tell my wife, oh man, this is awesome, I have 10% of this and 5%, and then all of a sudden comes this percentage, I think it was like 9% or something like that, that says, from the region of Equatorial Guinea in Africa. I was like, whoa, that is so cool. I had no idea when I visited them. I had no idea. And I thought, this is so amazing. It made me feel so familiar with them, so more closer to the pastors I was working with. So I wrote to my friend who I went with. He's from Argentina. I said, man, you wouldn't believe I got the test done. And I'm from, my roots are from that part of Africa. And he, you know, we joked around and talked about it. And it's been an amazing thing to discover that. You know what it did? It kind of created a connection to a place I had never been before. And now a deeper connection because now I know that some of me came from there. Are you with me today? And this is exactly what God wants you to get into your spirit, that when you identify what is in you, it should give you a security and a greater connection with God, a deeper connection every way. In Romans 8:16 says it this way about this Spirit of God in you. And it says this, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit in you, tells you, hey, you're a son. Hey, you're a daughter. Because when you doubt that, then everything crumbles. This is exactly what Satan told Jesus when he tempted him. He says, if you are the Son of God, can you imagine the boldness that Satan had to challenge the very Son of God in his identity? Why would he not do that to you? Why would he not do that to you? And this is why God comes along and says, my Holy Spirit is going to confirm in your spirit that you're mine in every way, that you're mine. And we need that. We need that affirmation to happen in us and to grow in us. And this is why it's so important. Why? Because the DNA proof of God is the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. The DNA proof of God in you is the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. And you ought to know that. You ought to know that because otherwise you behave and walk in your Christian life in a different manner. I came across a story of this lady named Phyllis Thomas. Phyllis Thomas. And it was a very interesting story as I'm doing all this research. And Phyllis Thomas was a lady from also the Midwest, I think. And she decided to get, for Christmas, all her family, and she was in her 40s, all her family decided to do DNA kit just like I did for Christmas. And so they all did. To her surprise, when the result came back, her dad was not her dad. And she was blown away. She was like, I'm a 40-year-old lady with two children, a husband, and now I find myself completely demolished. Like, my mom never told me. I grew up somewhat in a lot. I mean, she's just going through all the emotions and finding out, yes, my mom is my mom, but my dad is a different dad, and no one ever told me. And it just unloaded on him. And she said, she started questioning herself. She says, no wonder I feel different. Like, for example, she said, I always went to church, even when I was a little girl, wanted my mom to take me. But my mom and my stepdad and family, they never went. They didn't like it. There was just things I did that felt different, and I didn't know why. And it was so interesting. She decides to research a little more and ask her mom, hey, where are we from? She tells them the town. She decides to put a Facebook post. So she writes a post, hey, I was born in this hospital in this town around this year. I'm looking for who could be my father. Puts it out on the ether, as they say. You know, puts it out on the internet, and people start calling. Finally, she gets a hold of somebody, or somebody gets a hold of her and calls her on the phone and says, hey, listen, I think I know who your father is, and I am your second cousin. And she starts bawling. She said, it was so weird, crying on the phone with a stranger. I've never heard their voice. But when they said they kind of knew where I came from, it just unlocked something in me. And so she is weeping on the phone. She tells them, we have to do a DNA test to prove this, but your dad is really famous. And she says, your dad is Phil Robertson. And she said, who is Phil Robertson? She had never seen the show. And she realizes, what? And so this cousin decides to reach out to the boys and says, hey, I think you guys have a sister. And he's like, nah, man, people are just trying to take money from us. We're famous now. And so we're going to do a DNA test. So they run a second DNA test. They summon Phil and her. And just like it was said, 99.9%, that was his daughter. Now, the story doesn't end there. So they decide to get together. We're going to introduce them. This is happening around 2020 before the world shuts down. February 2020, they decide to do a meeting. And this is what she wrote in a story about the importance of a father in your life. When they finally do the meeting, she travels to their big farm that they have. And when she gets there, it says that Phil walked up to her. And if you've ever seen the show, Phil's so direct. He said, Phil walked up to me, grabbed me by my shoulders, and said, I didn't know. And she said, just those words unlocked in her, like, oh my gosh, I thought the whole time you rejected me, didn't want anything to do. She says, I didn't know, no one told me you existed. And then she says, then he says this. He looked in the eyes and says, yup, this one's mine too. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to belong? I could hear Phil saying in his words, you know, this one's mine. And so she said that expression alone, and they talk about it in their podcast, that expression alone brings such a freedom to know that you belong somewhere. Here's what God says. My spirit tells you every day, yup, this one's mine. Yup, this one's mine. Yup, this one's mine. We belong somewhere. We belong somewhere. And it's important because otherwise we're going to walk away from Jesus, not knowing that we actually belong. Hear the words of Phil. I love this. God is a God that restores broken people. Phil says, I was a broken mess, a slave to my desire, just like we read. God redeemed me 45 years ago, but he didn't stop there. God is continuing to restore me, and he has brought to me my long-lost daughter, and I love her. What a beautiful thing to say to your children. Here's what God says about you and me. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, in him, can you say those two words? 1, 2, 3. In him, he says, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we've been talking about, our pastor Dan walked us through this series on the Holy Spirit. And he said, you being sealed, there's a stamp in your heart and in your soul that says that you are his. And we ought to believe that anytime, every time the enemy comes to challenge you and tell you you are not, let him know the Holy Spirit has sealed me and I belong to him in everything I do. In everything I do. It's so crucial. Verse 14, who, watch this, is the guarantee of our inheritance. Is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. He is the guarantee of that redemption. I share this story. As many of you guys know, maybe you guys don't know why, since my father died when I was very young, I think I was 3.5, 4 years old when my father died. He had brain cancer, and so they tried to do surgery, tried to remove it, but it was malignant cancer, and so he passed away. In that season of him being sick is when my family came to the Lord. A cousin of ours, pastor, he preached to my father in his deathbed, gave his heart to the Lord, and so my mother came to the Lord, and we continue on from there. And it was a difficult road in many ways, but it's been a glorious road. God has been so good in so many ways. Well, just, I would say about a year ago, through a text messaging app, I get a text message from an uncle on my father's side. I hang out with some of my father's side people and chat, but I'm not very close with them. I grew up mostly on my mother's side of the family. And so he texts me and says, Hey, sobrino, which is the word for nephew. He says, hey, by the way, we are selling our land that we had. It's not a lot of land that my grandmother had on my father's side, and so we're going to distribute the money. I said, great, man, enjoy it. You guys are getting older now. I want to see you guys enjoy your life. Go ahead and, you know, get something nice. Travel, do something, you know, because we don't come from a wealthy family in any way. And so he said, no, we want to do that, but I want you to know that we have to distribute your father's portion between you and your sister. I was completely shocked. I was like, why would you do that? Like, my dad is not around. But it just didn't dawn on me that the same rights my father had now were transferred to me. And I was just like, oh, man. And I mean, it's not a lot of money. You think, oh, man, he's got a lot of money. And those who are Hispanic know there's always some fight about la tierra somewhere else, right? About the inheritance that we're going to get somewhere else. But los terrenos is how they say it in the Mexican culture. So there's always this fight about this thing. It's not a lot of money. When you convert pesos to dollars, it's pretty much just to go to the grocery store after that. And so it wasn't a lot of money. But it was just the gesture, the fact that even though my father's been dead for, you know, I don't know, 49 some years now, it's still 47 years, still I am part of a family. I'm part of a family. And so the spirit in me, who I am, still resonates in order to receive the benefits that would have come to my father. God is saying the same thing to you and I. In him, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your inheritance in every way and in your life. Here's the last one for today. The strength of the Father is for you. Not only do we believe in his promises and we believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, is that the strength of the Father is for you. And a father in the home carries out strength for their children in every area that they bring in. When we're healthy, when we're strong, we transmit that strength into our children. And it's very, very important. But one of the things that we do as parents is we try to minimize risk in every way possible. And I know mothers are more, because they're more nurturing, they try to avoid that, right? Dads are like, you know, when you see the kid trying to touch something hot, don't touch it. At some point you go, yeah, go ahead and touch it and find out, right? So you're trying to teach them a lesson so they figure out life. So we tend to allow our children to take a little more risk, but we try to minimize the risk as much as possible because we don't want our children to go through what we went through. Anybody here feel that way, right? We always try to do everything we can. But here's the reality is that we cannot shield them from everything because those experiences is what's going to build them into a better person in every area of their lives. We simply cannot shield them because if we do, then we create people who are not strong in their ways of life. And those are important lessons. They're hard lessons, but they're important lessons. Our heart breaks when we see our kids in sport and they get, you know, beat up on one of my kids, when he played, I think it was one of their basketball team or something. I mean, we just got whooped. I think we came this close to winning one game. We went 10-0 in one season playing rec basketball. And we came this close to winning, and then we lost on the very last second on some wild shot on some kid that I still have a picture of him, and I'm going to locate him. No, I'm kidding. And so it's just, it was so heartbreaking, right? So we wanted our kids to be successful, but that's just life. You know, sometimes you win some and you lose some, but you grow up and you move on. We try to minimize risk. And Jesus comes and say, I want you to know that risk is part of life. And it's part of your development in God. And you need the strength of the Father to help you through it. Look, Romans 8:17 says this. And if children, are we children this morning? Amen. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And here comes the twist. If. And here's where a lot of people tend to deviate from the things of God. When if is presented. If is important. Every family has if. Here's some families. If you're a healthy family, your kids have chores. You are part of the family. I'm not denying you as my child. You are my child. But there's things you got to do. You can stay in the home if, when they're old enough. Hello? Man, if not, then hey, I want to move in with you guys. But there's if. Life has if in every way. You know, when you get a job, you will sustain this job if. So the idea, the gospel is free. The love of God is free. Everything's free in the sense that he's absolutely given to us. And the Spirit is confirming that. But we have to now be part of a family that has responsibilities. And that responsibility is called obedience. And nobody likes to talk about that today because we're, you know, Western civilization, we're in a free world, we conquer things. But when we come to God, we can continue to do those things. If, ready? If indeed we suffer with him. I think some people call it ride or die. Ride or die. Jesus says, hey, you can enjoy everything I have if you're with me when things are good and if you're with me when things are not good. You can have everything I promise if you're with me when you can praise me in the gardens and when you can praise me in the desert. You can be there. If is crucial. If it's crucial, if it's crucial for us to sustain the love of God in our life, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Can we give God a praise for that? Wow. And it is so crucial for us to know that if is important. And that suffering, not just any suffering, it's not just putting up with difficulties or sickness, even though it's part of the walk of life. The suffering is the suffering that happens to us when we have to walk through an obedient life with Christ. But there are things in our lives that stop us. And here's what Wednesday night comes in. Wednesday night comes in as the Lord is playing a movie in my head. Here's the movie. When I was about 19 or 20 years old, a friend of mine in Latin America, is very difficult to own a car. So I didn't own a car. And so he said, hey, take my car, and we were having a youth group meeting, and go do an errand for the church. And so I said, absolutely. So I jump in his car, I go do an errand. On my way back from doing those errands, returning back to the church or the point of meeting, somebody heartbreaked in front of me, so I had to swerve to the next lane, but there was a big bus parked right there. And I just slammed right into that bus and just destroyed the front end of this car. Really nice car. And so I was frustrated, I was super nervous, I was scared, just all the emotions. It's not my car. And so I call him, and he was super nice about it. He's still one of the greatest friends I have today. His daughter was an intern for us, just a wonderful friend. And so he came, he's like, don't worry about it, man. We're going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. He was super nice to me. He was just incredible. It brought so much peace. So then I get to the church, and so I grab the phone, and I call my mom. Now, you have to understand, my mom is a single mom. We've had a very difficult life. And so I call my mom. I said, Mom, I crashed. Oh, his name is Pedro. I said, I crashed Pedro's car. And the first thing out of my mom's, what am I going to do? I have no money. What were you doing? I mean, she just railed me, never asked me, how are you doing? And things like that. And please, before you go and go, oh, your mom said, no, my mom is my hero. She's my spiritual hero. She did so many things well. This is just a moment. And all parents have their moment. And so her moment was there, but it marked me in a way that I had no idea. Maybe I stuffed it. It marked me because it filled me with fear and insecurity in a way that I never noticed, because I don't feel that I'm an insecure person or a fearful person for that matter, but in that aspect. And so here's the movie. All of a sudden, I start seeing that every time I would get into an accident or a car would break down, I would panic. I had no idea I was doing that. But the movie's flashing before me as I'm sitting there thinking, what is happening? This is crazy. Right? Pastor Jessica was praying for freedom and spiritual things in our lives. And so here's what happened. 2 years ago, my middle son, preparing for Easter, is raining. I don't know if you guys remember, raining a lot. And so I told him in the morning before I came to Sabbath service, I said, son, why don't you take our car, mom and I car, to work. Don't drive your car, because this car's a little older, smaller tires. But in the end, he ended up taking his car. So he calls me. He never calls me in the middle of the day, especially when he's going to work. He calls me. Service had already ended. Pastor Dan and the team were figuring out how we're going to do service, bring everybody in, because the courtyard was getting rained on. And so I grabbed the phone, and I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, dad. That type of voice. I mean, every parent here knows what that means. And I'm like, what the heck? What's going on? Tell me. He said, dad, I got into an accident. I said, are you okay? You know, my reaction was, are you okay? Everything's fine. And yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm a little nervous, but I'm okay. So where are you at? He had gotten an accident right by university exit. And so I said, I'm going to be right there. So I tell Pastor, hey, pray for my son. I'm going to be right there. Jump in the car, go meet him, help him out. We get it done. He, you know, obviously shaking. He's still a teenager. And so we get through everything, and that happens. Hey, we're going to work it out. And so 2 years later, just last December in January, then two of our other kids got an accident, small fender benders, in the same car. Now, the lesson is not don't ride with the Ogandos. That is not the lesson, okay? Like somebody greeted me at the door yesterday and said, okay, next time I'll meet you at the spot. I was like, shut up, don't do that. One of my kids gets backing out of a thing, and then he gets hit on one side. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I'm feeling the burden of, I got to fix this. I got to go through insurance. I got to pay deductible. And we're about to go into a sabbatical time that our pastors gave us. And this time was for resting, yet we're dealing with this. And 2 weeks after that accident, then my daughter gets T-boned on a stop sign. And, you know, it was that same panic. She calls, but this time was different. When she called, something in me flipped, and I said, honey, it's going to be fine. Something changed in my head, and I just said, we're going to be right there. So her mom and I jumped in our car, met her where she was at, talked to the cops, figured things out, working with the insurance. But obviously, there was a little bit of panic in me. Man, now I have to pay. I have to come out of pocket for this, and I have to repair this, and all these things. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me, here's what's important, the strength of a father. I'm your father. You don't have to deal with this on your own. And this is the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is that even though you belong to God, he tells you you're alone. Yeah. And any father here knows that if a child calls, we'll figure it out. Amen. Wouldn't you know that if we can figure out, wouldn't our Father in heaven figure it out for us and work with us and lead us and help us and lead us in every way? And come on, it's an incredible thing. But the enemy lies to us in that capacity. And I just gave that to the Lord and said, Lord, I hope I never have to deal with this. Because why? Why is God so gracious? Why is the Spirit so gracious? I want you to get this as we're ending. I want you to get this. Is this, that in Christ, we are to identify by the Spirit that which we are to defeat in the flesh. In Christ, we have to find out in our spirit that which we are to defeat in the flesh. Because the orphan spirit that is in us is manifesting in things in our lives, in our behavior, in the way we treat our wives, in the way we treat our children, in the way we behave at work, in our anger, in our frustration. All of that is coming from the fact that I am not secure in the love of God in me and the strength of the Father. And Jesus tells us that we have to be strong through this. Because if, my wife reminded me of this verse in Luke 6:35, I'm not going to read it for you, I'll just paraphrase it. And the verse is this, do good to others and forgive them and lend to others. And in that manner, you will be children of the Father. That's crazy. That's suffering. Suffering when somebody's not being good to you and you decide, I'm going to be good to them. Amen. Guess what? You just became like your father. You just became like your father in that moment. You were just like God. And that is a beautiful thing. And Jesus, in the most vulnerable, difficult moment of his life, when things are about to come upon him, in Mark 14, 36, Jesus is in Gethsemane towards the end of his life, and he says this. I love that Mark wrote it this way. He said, Abba, Father. Same words the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:15 and says, our spirit is crying out saying, Abba, Father, help me out, Dad. Jesus is on his knees in this last moment and says, Abba, Father. I know all things are possible. Think about it. Jesus, I know you're capable. And our children feel we're capable of anything. And Jesus, I know you can do it all. And if you can avoid me suffering this thing, I would like that. But let it not be my will, Father. Let it be yours. Let it be yours. And for every Christian in this service and in this church today, that is the challenge for us to know that there's proof in us. And that proof is the fact that God is at work in our life. And the proof is the fact that when he works in us, his promises become true. The Spirit of God is screaming inside of you. And the strength of the Father is lifting you up in every way and in every area of your life. Here's why. Because being a child of God isn't just a thought. It is a legal reality in the spirit realm. It is a legal reality in the spirit realm. God is at work in you and in me. So crucial. Can we pray together? Just right there where you're at. Just tell him, Lord, where am I at? What work are you doing in my life? Let him speak to you. Maybe you're needing strength in your life. You've been feeling like, man, I can't connect in some areas of my life. Maybe you felt unloved, spiritually disconnected. And God's saying, I want to reach you. You've been acting in a fearful manner. About this, you've always felt different. And God wants you to feel accepted and directed in him, connected. Maybe you've had a hard time with the if of Christianity, the if of being in a relationship with God. And he's saying, no, let's do this. Father God, we just confess today, Lord, that if we felt far from you, like there was no proof that you were in us, Lord, we now believe that the proof is your spirit in us. Crying out, calling out, saying, you're mine. You're mine. So we receive it today, Lord. We receive that direction for every one of us today. Father, make us secure in you so that we can walk with you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God is so good. Would you give God a praise for that? So wonderful. Let me do something right up front. I want to make sure that your life is okay with God, and then we'll do some other things to end service. But if you've never given God all of your heart and all your life, I want to make sure you do that. And if you give me 5 more minutes of your time, I would definitely want to get you to think through this. And here's how I always ask this question, because it touches me. If death were to knock at your heart this very day, would you open your heart in heaven, or would you open your eyes in hell? And most people don't want to talk about this. The reason why we don't want to talk about it is because we've been told that heaven is almost a guaranteed. We only assume that, you know, hell is for really, 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 really bad people, and heaven is for kind of all of us, societal, decent people. Pastor, I don't do anything. I've never stolen. I take care of the earth, and I know God created it. I'm a very social, conscious person. Those things are wonderful, but there's not a verse in the Bible, in the Word of God, that says that those things lead you to heaven. It does not exist. There's people who say, Pastor, I memorized the scripture. I've been to Bible classes when I was a kid, so I know some things. Oh, by the way, I'm not a scholar, but I know some things. Here's what's amazing. The Bible records that Satan recited verses to Jesus when he tempted him, and he is not going to heaven. He is not going to heaven. So just because you can recite some verses, and just because you have an understanding here in your head of what Christianity is and God exists and Jesus came. We're going to celebrate his death and resurrection in a few weeks. That somehow that gives you access to heaven. It does not. It does not. Here. God sent his only son to die on a cross for you because he loves you and because you need him. And we need him. And that is the reason why he is making his word available to you and his sacrifice available to you. But you have to. Here's the if. You have to invite him. God is not going to force himself into anyone's life. God is not going to demand a societal change and say, because we have a Christian government under a Christian nation, that somehow those people go to heaven. That is not the case. The Bible says that you have to invite him. And in a moment, I want to give you that invitation. I want to give you that invitation that with boldness, that you do the if, that you say, you know what? I am going to surrender my life to Christ. And in a moment, that's how we do it in our church. I count to three. You raise your hand right where you are. I see your hand. You wave at me. I'll see your hand. You can put it right back down after I see you. And then we're going to pray together here, inviting Jesus in your life and starting a new life today. Pastor, that may be embarrassing, man. Raising my hand at people I came with think I'm a Christian. And so I don't want to do that. Hey, this is the if. This is the if. The if is, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me and say, I'm not doing that, here's what the Bible says. Jesus is going to deny you before the Father because he's not playing games. He doesn't want people to be good religious people. He wants people to say, I am in need of you and I need you to rescue me. I want to give you my heart and my life. I want to walk with you from this day forward. I had to do it. Many of us have to do it at some point in our life. Today is your day of salvation. And the Bible says that if we go after the one, that he'll bring the others. So I'm going after you because Jesus is going after you today. And he's saying, hey, would you come back? Would you come back? If you've never done this, today's your day. Maybe you did it, Pastor. I pray one time, but my life, man, I've been so far from God. Today's the day to make that commitment, that recommitment to Christ. How about this? You know God's speaking to you, sitting right there, or even from your home. You know he's speaking to you. So if he is, don't put him aside. Don't say maybe tomorrow, maybe later. You don't know when that would be. Today is the day of salvation. So in a moment, I count to three, and you raise your hand. Ready? 1, 2. And 3, is there anyone in this place? Your moment of salvation. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I want to give God all of my heart and all of my life. This is your moment. They're pointing at me. I see you. God bless you. Put your hand down so you don't get tired. That's awesome. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But it all begins with that if. If you see it. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Yeah, pointing me over there. Thank you. I see you. I see you. Okay. 2. Awesome. 3. Perfect. Oh, beautiful. Is there anyone else? Your moment of salvation. God bless you. 4. Awesome. See you. 5. Yes. 6. I see you. Thank you, Lord. How beautiful. They're pointing at me this way. Let me see if I see them on the light. Oh, I see you. God bless you. Yes. How beautiful. Thank you, Lord. How awesome. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But it begins with that if. God bless you. Good job. Put her hand right down. Thank you, Lord. This is the beginning of a close relationship with your Father. God bless you. I see you up there. It's 8, 9. 9 beautiful souls. Well, let's remain steady for a minute. Give us a few minutes. Don't get distracted. I see you, number 10. Yeah, they're pointing at me over there. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how beautiful is God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, pointing at me. See, if I don't see you, just wave at me. Oh, there you go. Hey, good job. 11. How awesome. Man, God is so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, they're pointing at me. You guys are making me work today. God bless you. I see you there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Jim used to say, we're fishing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we give God a praise for those 11 beautiful souls? Yes. Here's what we're going to do in a moment. We want to pray with you, and our team wants to pray with you. And we want to just, that one step of boldness, we want to put some information to your hand. We want to walk you through the process of taking that first step. And in a moment, we're all going to stand. Don't leave anything in your seat. If you came with a friend, walk with them. And come out of your seat and meet us right here and meet our team so we can pray together. Let's stand this moment and welcome them this very day to this very bold move. Come on, can we give God a praise for their lives? It's your moment of salvation. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. God wants to walk with you in this process. Just get out of your seat and say, hey, I'm going for God. I'm going for God. If you see somebody and you want to walk with them, say, hey, friend, walk with me. Friend, walk with me. God wants to be with you this day. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. It's your moment of salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, family. God bless you. Thank you, thank you. God is so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking this step. Thank you for taking this step. God is so good, so faithful. That's awesome. Good job, man. Good job. Good job. This is your moment of salvation. You can step out of your seat right now. Even if you didn't raise your hand and you know God's speaking to you, just get out of your seat and meet us right here. He is for you and He's with you this day. Thank you, Lord. Hey, all of you guys who are up here, I want to let you know it's the best decision you can do. I had to do it at one point in my life, and many of us did. Here's what we found out. God was real. Jesus had a purpose for us, and He's led us this whole time. And that's what He's going to do with you. Remember that if we're going to provide some friends that are going to walk you through that process. You're going to need help right now after that moment. But first, let's begin with a prayer. The book of Romans, just as we're reading in chapter 10, says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, then you shall be saved. So that's what we're going to do, a confession and a prayer together. And it's not a magical prayer. God sees the honesty of your heart. So if you miss a word, you didn't, oh my God, I'm not even saying it perfectly like the pastor said. I don't even speak English that well, so don't worry about it. We're going to figure it out, okay? So let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father God, I invite you into my heart, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But this day, I give you all of my heart and all of my life. I want to live for you. From this day and until eternity, be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome step. If you give us 5 more minutes of your time, Pastor Joel, one of our leaders, he's going to give you that book, and then he'll offer you more prayer if you need, and he'll let you come right out, and your family will wait for you right around here in that section. So follow Pastor Joel over there. Thank you so much. This is the first day. Just follow with him. Come on, give God a praise for that. Belong to your Father. So anytime this week or throughout the year when the enemy comes at you, you let him know, I belong to somebody. He's yours. The Spirit is going to declare in your soul. Can I bless that today for you today? Raise your hand. Father God, thank you so much. These are your children, as we declare today. And I bless them today from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed coming and blessed going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper, because that's what your word says about them, Lord God. And we say about our inland empire with faith that the inland empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally. You don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.